Welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
It's so good to have you back with us today. It's book club week.
Woo-woo.
So we're talking about the Book of Longings this month.
Yes, so we are talking the ins and outs.
Here's
our spoiler alert for you.
Yeah, if you don't want to hear all the details, listen for a minute and then turn it off.
You're going to
want
to listen for a minute because we have a special announcement. But then, if you haven't finished reading yet, come back later.
Absolutely. So we want to announce next month's book of the month. So for September, we will be reading, Jamie?
The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James.
Okay, so this is the synopsis of The Sundown Motel. The secrets lurking in a rundown roadside motel ensnare a young woman, just as they did her aunt 35 years before. In this new atmospheric suspense novel from the national best-selling and award-winning author of The Broken Girls. Upstate New York, 1982, every small town like Fell, New York, has a place like the Sundown Motel. Some customers are from out of town, passing through on their way to someplace better. Some are locals trying to hide their secrets. Viv Delaney works as the night clerk to pay for her move to New York City. But something isn't right at the Sundown, and before long, she's determined to uncover all of the secrets hidden.
Ooh. I think this is so fun. Like we haven't done a thriller.
No.
And so this is, and I love a good thriller. So
me too.
And this one just came out in April of this year, April 2020.
See, we're always picking newbies.
It's a new one.
It's kind of fun. Like you get to read some of the new stuff that's coming out right now.
Yeah.
I think unless I made an effort, I would wait a really long time.
I agree. And this one, when I saw like the summer reading lists that were going around like in the springtime, this is one that I've been wanting to read since I saw that. So
I agree. And I'm ready for something like this.
Yeah, I agree.
A little bit lighter. Maybe not so heavy. Mysterious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Heavy in a dark way, maybe, but not in a, we've done a couple historical fiction.
Yeah.
And so the last 2 months. And so this will be nice to have.
Something different.
So I'm excited for this one. So
in correlation with our introduction of next month's book, we are going to do another giveaway.
Yay!
It was so fun last month, and so we're going to do it again. This time, to enter our giveaway, you just need to find us on Instagram, and we will have a post about the giveaway. Comment on the post and like our page, or whatever it's called on Instagram.
Yeah.
And every tag that you make of a person, so every friend that you tag on that post, you'll get another entry to the drawing.
So you can have multiple entries.
There is no limit. You can tag whoever you want.
All your friends are going to want to know about us.
Hello.
They're going to want to read what you're reading, and then you'll have more people to talk to about the books anyway.
Yes.
And then they could possibly win a book. If they like our page.
And you become their favorite person.
And the love goes on and on and on.
See? Feel the love.
This is so great. You're going to want to tag your friends. They're going to want to be tagged, so don't leave them out.
That's rude.
Right.
Don't be rude.
Don't be rude. Just share the love.
I know. Okay.
Include everyone. We're all about.
I know. Because we want to hear from more people.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So.
Okay. So now I think that's all though before we get started.
So now we're really going into the Book of Longings by Sumant Kidd.
If you want to pause for later, pause for later.
Yes.
But if not, here we go.
But here we go. Are you ready?
So Jamie.
Yeah.
What did you think?
So I love that there is a voice for Anna. That there is a possible fictional idea of Jesus having a wife.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
I did not love all the things she necessarily, which we'll get more into. I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
I liked it. I loved the voice. I love her writing.
Yep.
But I was, I don't want to say disappointed, but I think I was left with a little bit of
wanting,
a little bit of longing for more from Anna.
Yes, I definitely had higher expectations for her.
Yeah.
And maybe that's unrealistic.
Right. Which, yeah, we'll get into that. But I think the preface of the book, I went away with thinking, well, yeah, they were married, but they were not together very often, really, in their marriage. And so going into it, I'm thinking, we're going to see Anna preaching with Jesus. We're going to see Anna, you know,
being a witness to this whole life.
His whole life and that. And on the same page.
Yep.
Maybe even. And it's okay that she's not. I did kind of like that. That she questioned him on things. And she didn't necessarily have the same task that he did. Which was, I mean, he had a very unique task for just him. And so I kind of get that. But I was just kind of surprised the role Anna took in this fictional depiction of the wife of Jesus.
As did I.
Okay.
I think that her story was a good one.
Absolutely. I loved her story.
I think, and I think I said this earlier, but I feel like I was sold one story and I read a totally different story.
Yeah, it was very different.
So that's where I struggled. I think I probably would have, I mean, and I gave it 3.5 stars. I couldn't quite give it 4.
Can you give 3.5 stars?
I am today.
Okay, but when you go on Goodreads, can you really go a half into the other one?
No, you can't.
And
so I haven't put anything on Goodreads, but that's what I want to give it.
That's what you want to get. I really went back and forth between 5 or 4 because I really did think it was a good story. Writer.
Yeah.
But I just kept feeling this little bit of pull of,
It ended kind of abruptly. I mean,
yeah.
This is early to talk about that. But I mean, it just felt like, oh, like, wait, there's more. And we didn't go there at all.
Right. Yeah, and there were just a few little things in there that I was like, would the wife of Jesus really done that? And I know that this gets to be fictional and she can have her do whatever.
Yeah.
But I did question a lot, which I'm not against questioning a character or a story.
Sure.
I think that's good.
I think this is kind of my thing. I loved Anna. I loved the person that she was. She was not just going to go with the flow because that's what everybody told her she had to do.
Right.
You know, she very much was intuitive and listened to herself and held on strong to the things that were important to her and that she valued.
Absolutely.
And I thought that that was awesome.
Yes.
I really loved all of those things about her.
Yes.
And that she was willing to do things that weren't seen as appropriate, you know, even because she felt like they were right?
Yes.
And I loved that, right? But I also kind of like, I just wasn't sold. Like, I love that she was always drawn to Jesus. And I thought that was great. It was innocent and it felt very, I know I'm not finding the right word, but it felt real and it felt like it was probably the only way you'd ever get to know somebody in that time.
Right. And a good match. I felt like, yes, she could be the wife of Jesus.
Sure.
And who else, you know, he would be drawn to someone who
is independent.
Is independent like he is. He doesn't go with the crowd. He doesn't quite fit in either.
Yeah.
He has definitely different
She's definitely been
thoughts.
Rebuked for certain things.
Yes.
And
so they were a
and
great
so
match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except when he offered marriage to her, it felt like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't looking at her because he felt like she was a good match.
He was saving her.
Yeah. And if he's going to have to get married anyway, at least it's for a good cause.
Right.
Like, I was kind of, and not that they didn't have a good relationship. Like, it was fine.
But I did think that proposal part was a little,
that it just was a letdown. And, and clearly he was good to her and he went out of his way to do good things for her when they were together, which wasn't very often. But even then, he was just a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never felt like he needed Anna.
Right. Well, and this is another thing it made me think is, when there was the one time where she started feeling like he came home and he had these people over and asked her to make a meal for them, to be the one to prepare food. And she says something like, So is this what it is now? Now I'm being put with the women and preparing food and not in talking with the man. So there was that one time in the book. Do you remember that part?
Yep, I do.
And my thoughts on that are, A, maybe the reason we don't ever, if Jesus did have a wife, we don't ever talk about her is because then I'm judging Jesus on that one. Like,
yeah.
You just sent your wife to make food for you, which I know was the custom of the time, but she's not the customary wife.
Yeah, no, that's and a very valid point. And he fell
back into what everybody else was doing, and she felt belittled.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
If Jesus had a wife, we maybe wouldn't, we would question him more. And sure. Maybe that's...
No, I see that side. And I also think when you look at all the stories in the Bible, they are pulling out just moments. I mean, that was one thing that I also didn't really think about until I was reading this book, was he had this whole life before we really start reading all of these moments.
Yes.
And
his ministry was very short.
Yes.
For what he did and how well he's known and for him being who he is, you know.
Yes.
It's a relatively short...
believe him to be.
Yeah.
I feel like that is so huge. And even like Anna, or Anna, I don't remember.
Anna is how they pronounce it on the...
So she almost only views him as like a man who loves God. You know, she never said, like, although they comment on the things of him like doing that were signs from God that he would do, but like they never reference, like... Mary references that he was given a hard time as a child, that he was born out of wedlock.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But never that he was the son of God.
Right.
They never
Joseph was that. His father, and they didn't reference. Yeah. He was the son of Joseph.
Yeah.
Jesus ben Joseph is how he introduced himself.
Yeah.
And so maybe it did. Did he even realize? Or the fact that he doesn't ever perform any of the miracles. I mean, they don't ever talk about that he healed the sick.
Yeah.
That he...
He's been doing a lot of things. You know what I mean?
But it didn't... She didn't know any of that.
No.
Or it doesn't relay to us that she knew that part of him. It just
sounds like he's another preacher.
Yes.
And that he just was another person who was giving his life to preaching.
And that was all there was to it.
When he died, he died. When you look at him in a different way... Which is very interesting.
Which it also didn't at all touch on the resurrection.
None.
Nothing about...
Like, she just leaves.
And that she doesn't even go back with them.
I imagine that's something that is talked about.
So when we say we read a book different than what we thought, these are things I thought we were going to
experience with Anna.
Was, you know, his preaching, going from town to town, healing the sick... You know, the fish, the bread, his parables, and that she was somehow a part of that and a witness of it.
Yes.
And she was a witness of
the
persecution.
She helped them along the way. I mean, it wasn't an easy road. And there has to have been a lot of silent helpers that provided for the apostles and for Jesus as they made their vigil and, you know, as they crossed... And
I
guess
I was kind of hoping there was a woman's point of view being taught along with it.
Yeah, that would
If there's
nice.
Going to be a wife of Jesus, let's, you know, let her, I wanted her to be preaching along with him.
Like, I wanted her to have some sort of spirituality. And not that she wasn't like,
but it wasn't the same as his.
No, like, she did not talk about God.
Mm-mm.
Like, hers was all, you know, she had visions, and I mean, I guess she kind of talks about God a little bit. Like, her dreams were important to her.
A god and a goddess.
Yes.
That she prays to Sophia.
And she talked more about the goddess.
And the goddess side of it, which I love that, too, that we have a female...
Like a mother and a
counter
father.
...to what Jesus had on his side, and I think it really showed that it was two separate things.
Yes.
Not one together... With a heavenly father and a heavenly mother.
Right.
Or a god and a goddess of what I had maybe hoped came together. But then she was, it talks something about you belong to yourself. That's the wording they used, that you don't belong to someone else, you belong to yourself. So if she's truly going to belong to herself, she's got to go her route with what she envisions for herself, which is what she did. She didn't go along with Jesus. She didn't follow him on those things. Although she wanted to be with him, she didn't want to be with him to preach the things he was going to preach.
Yeah, she was had supportive, her own things like, great, to preach Jesus, I and know do. That, yeah, like I know yeah. these things are important to you, and I know that you love God and you need to pray and you need mm-hmm. to do all those things. But at the same time,
that wasn't her mission. Her mission was to take the silenced voices
to make them heard
and make them heard. And so that was her mission. And so
and I did love that.
I loved that too. So I kind of go back and forth like, oh, I wanted to see her with him and preaching, but she wasn't, that wasn't her mission. Her mission was very different from Jesus. And she was very independent mm-hmm. of him in their marriage.
Yes.
Which I like the strength in that as well.
Yeah. But it was a lot of separation.
It was a lot of separation.
But it almost felt like two just very strong people.
Yes. Her story, which I loved, and it was her story, but it wasn't a story of them together.
Right.
And I think that's what I thought it was going to be. And so that's why.
But I can also see how that causes a lot of problems, you yeah. know, because it does, like you said, there it could cause you to not be listening to the stories and the lessons that are being taught,
mm-hmm.
you know, and instead you're making judgments on people. And I can see both. But, you know, at the crucifixion, when Anna makes it back there and gets to watch him die. So that's the one scene that you get to see through Anna's point of view.
Yes. Of the stories that we know.
Yes.
It did give a different perspective of it.
Yes. And I did, and a different perspective of Judas.
Yes.
Which I really liked that perspective of
Absolutely.
Judas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's good for us to, like, think bigger than one
story
act.
We've been told.
Yeah, one act that version a person of it. Makes.
Yes.
And maybe understand a little bit more.
Yeah, it kind of made me think, like, all the Disney stories that have come out lately of the other side. The story on the other side of, like Maleficent.
Yes.
Her other side. Like, why she is the way she is. And I think that's become a more popular, we're going to look at... Like, not just the one perspective, but look
yeah.
at the other perspective and see that why that person is that way. And I started to think about that in
yeah.
this book was, you know, in the Bible, we've read these stories over and over again from one perspective. And I know this is a fictional account, but it does make me think there are more sides to this or more,
yeah.
you know, a broader view.
Absolutely. It was also really fascinating to me to be like, okay, because she goes to Egypt and they don't know anything of him.
Yeah.
Which seems bizarre at this moment in time.
Right.
Because we all know who Jesus is. But
yes,
they don't
but
know
they
anything.
Didn't.
And they're in such a more advanced, like,
yes.
society.
Yes.
And, like, everything that they do and the way that they worship. And that was something that made me think a lot. And then... But back to the crucifixion.
Yeah.
So Anna's at the crucifixion, and she's there, and she sees, like, Mary Magdalene. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
Mother Mary is there.
Yeah.
And but Mary Magdalene that is there, and then another, is it her sister?
Martha.
Oh, Martha.
Is it Martha? Yeah.
Yes. And they are just, they love him. Like, not that she didn't.
But they've been spending time with him the last 2 years
yes.
that she hasn't. And I think there would be, like, when they start telling her of... You know, well, he usually comes here for dinner at this time and we make him this and that. And, you know, I would have thought in her situation, some jealousy there.
Oh, yeah.
He is spending, that they know him so much on, I wouldn't say intimate, but his day to day.
Yeah.
And she's been absent.
She's not. She doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And she's kind
of
forced
of what he's
into
been
that.
Doing.
It's not by choice. She would
right.
have chosen, I think,
yeah.
to be there.
Because of her acts, her life was on the line as well.
Yeah.
And so there was good reason for her not to be there. And I don't at all blame that she wasn't. But she did miss out on those known years
yeah.
that we know of him.
Yeah.
She didn't.
And so her view of him, you can understand why maybe she's just like, oh yeah, he loved God and he wanted to worship
yeah.
God. But it was like, well, everyone else is looking at him. If you could have witnessed these
yeah.
things, you know,
this,
you maybe would see him a little bit differently. And then
yes.
how would that have changed her?
Yeah.
You know, not
Absolutely.
That she would abandon who she was, but how that could strengthen who she was. Or,
yeah.
You know, to feel and allow that power to encourage her own worth and her own, like, goals. Like, what was it she's trying to do? Like, her... What's the word? Like, his path was this, and her path was something different. But to have them be united, absolutely, and the strength, and how it could have maybe glorified what her own purpose was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of felt bad for her.
And if she had been there, what would religion, Christianity, look like now today? If she had been along the journey, because they did say, you know, like, she wasn't there. And why did his followers leave her out of the story?
At the end, they'd say he wasn't married.
Yeah. And he lived a celibate life. And if that hadn't been the story, how different would it be now?
Okay, so I have to read this question.
Okay.
Because I think it's worded so well.
Okay.
So in the author's note at the end, did you listen to all the notes? Yeah, me too. Okay. Suma Kidd ponders the question, how would the Western world be different if Jesus had married and his wife was included in this story, right? Like, if she was a part of the story. Now, I don't know how it could have made much of a difference the way that it's written, because she wasn't there.
Right.
Right, yeah, okay, in name he's married. Oh, great, but she wasn't really a part of his life.
Right.
So, okay.
But if named...
Yeah.
Because I know, like, in Catholicism, their pope takes vow of celibacy, doesn't get married, and maybe that would be different.
Right.
Because
they're trying to be like Jesus.
Like Jesus, and, yeah.
And, I mean, there's theories out there. Like,
and
this
please correct me here,
theory.
I'm not a theologist by all means.
Absolutely.
So if I'm stating things wrong in another religion or in anything, I'd love to hear how this affects all different religions.
Yeah. What is your take on this?
Yeah.
How do you think
what's
it
your
would
religion
change
and what's
the way that we
how
do
would it
things
affect
today?
Your the way you worship? Or, you know, because I look at it from a Christianity point of view, where, you know, we've got very much a patriarchy in religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal these days, like the questioning of where do women belong in this?
Yep.
And would it be different?
Would it
if
be different?
These stories of the women were told more fully, and there had to be more than those 7 or 8 that are mentioned.
Well, and even at the very beginning, I think it's only mentioned once.
Yeah.
That, you know, Judas has a wife.
Yeah, and then they
and
never...
And a few of them have wives.
And children. He had 3 children.
Back in a secret place because they didn't want them to be persecuted from their actions.
Yep, because they
Which
were being
kind
persecuted.
Of
they
makes
were protecting
sense,
them.
Yeah, right?
There's no way all of these men didn't have...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course,
like
they
had
lives
families.
And families and support and... This
and the sacrifices those families made for them to go around and preach.
And to do
and,
this. Yeah. Yeah, they were sacrificing. And all of them living with fear that they were going to be persecuted as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they still have to put food on the table for the kids. So, you know, the sacrifices that were being made. Because like they said, when Jesus left, he's like, I don't know how we're going to make it. Like,
right.
We don't have any money. We don't have places to stay. We're just winging it.
We're just going because we feel so passionate about this.
Yeah.
And yet there were families. It made me think of the bronze bow. Have we talked about that before?
I don't think so.
It is young adult. It's adolescent. Let me pull it up. It's an old. It's an older book. And I just read it. I read it in my early 20s, but I just read it with my kids over the summer. It's by Elizabeth George Speer. And it is a Caldecott Award winner from, 1997.
Whew.
No, that's not right. Maybe it was republished then. I know it was not 1997, but I could be wrong there. I thought it was much older than that. anyway, it talks about these two twins that are growing up in this same time, and they start hearing about, you know, they meet these zealots that are up in the mountains hiding that are preparing to fight the Romans. It's okay. So it's kind of this, the same thing. And Jesus is in the background preaching along the way, and, you know, they eventually meet Jesus, and he's going around to different synagogues and different fishing towns and preaching. And but these zealots live up in the hills because the Romans want to arrest them. They're out looking for them. So they live in caves and whatnot. And that depiction is of all these men that are just left alone with nobody else. Somebody cooks, somebody makes weaponry, somebody does this and that. But then there are a few who have families that come to build up the armies with them. And it is a sacrifice for their families because here the Romans are taxing them so heavily. So they used to do okay, and now they're not doing well anymore. And so it shows a little bit of how it affects, I think, maybe one of this group is married, and the detriment it has on his wife and them getting married and knowing. But it doesn't really talk about that these men have families either. But it's also a really good story, you know, a fictional story.
Yeah.
It kind of shows some historical fiction in there as well about...
That's awesome.
From a kid's level, a kid's point of view, and kind of how they grow up. Anyway, I got off topic there. But yeah, these people had families.
Yeah, I find it, and like they said at the very beginning of the book, right? Like, it's expected of Jews to wed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get married. That's an expectation that they have. And so it's not totally crazy to think that that's a possibility.
That's a possibility. Absolutely. I mean, think probably more of them were than not.
I also feel like, and this is my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
So take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, if Jesus was sent here to experience all that life has to offer and understand everything,
mm-hmm.
not that he could literally live through every single experience, but wouldn't that make sense that he would experience marriage? Like,
right.
It just kind of makes sense to me.
When we look to him as someone who knows all, has suffered all, yeah. knows our pains, knows our sorrows, I think it, to know that he knows the struggle of marriage as well.
Yep.
And the baby they had, the struggle of loss.
Yeah.
The struggle of fatherhood. And then even, I mean, we haven't even got into that yet, talking about the child they had.
Yeah.
That died. It really made me think he even knows not just the physical pain when he took on the sins of the world, of everyone's pain, regardless of what kind it is,
yeah.
but that firsthand account of fertility.
Yeah.
Like the hundreds of thousands of people who struggle with fertility, who want answers and who can feel anger towards, the world to not be able to have what they've always wanted.
Absolutely.
And to God, yeah, that he maybe did know. He knew loss at a fertility level.
I do like that part of the book.
I agree. I think it was very very sweet. She didn't really want to be a mother,
right?
And she did. Then she became pregnant,
and how life changes you.
Yeah. Like, and she was like, I can take this on.
Yes.
And then it's gone just like that. And then the mourning that she has over her child, but that she then decides afterwards, it doesn't mean I have to be a mother of a child to be a mother. How different would our world be now if women were viewed as not just the mothers of children, but the mothers of ..
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have to, because there are a lot of people who can't have children. Can't.
Or choose not to.
Don't see that it's in for them, and that's okay too.
Yep.
But there is always that stigma of, what do you mean you don't want to have kids?
Yes.
It doesn't mean they're not a mother.
No.
You can be the mother of whatever is your mothering position.
Yeah,
and I
your
think
passion.
Anna showed that she was the mother of these voices,
these writings.
Silenced voices.
She
and
had
these
such
writings.
A talent.
Yeah.
Right. That was her gift, was being
yeah.
able to write
and
like,
read and all those
as
languages.
Well, as a man,
if not better, they said, as
right.
well as if not better than than
men.
Yeah.
And yet be able to write the things that were important to women.
Yeah.
You know, or that she saw that were being missed.
Right. Those lessons that we maybe don't, or that culture we don't have now because there wasn't a female in the story of religion, that it could have changed all that to some less hurt.
Absolutely.
Less hurt now that I'm a woman and I can't even have kids, and that's my one sole duty. And I don't...
And that then...
I don't feel that, but I feel like there is that huge pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've come a long way.
Yes.
And so it's not the same.
And it's not going to erase that hurt of not being able to.
No.
Definitely. But maybe more of a guide of mothering what you're given to mother.
Yes.
And take, yeah, and some grace with it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about all the characters in the
Yes.
book.
Yes.
Because there's a few, I feel like, that really played an important role in Anna's life.
Yeah. Her family. Yeah. Who became her family? Who was her family?
Right.
So when we start out with Anna from the beginning, she's with her mom and her dad. And her dad gives in to her wants for reading and writing and gets her tutor for this.
Right.
But the mom is always kind of cold to her.
Yeah. And I think that always great.
I think she expects a more traditional role as a female out of Anna, and that's why. And so she maybe resents that she's not the daughter that's moldable.
Right.
Like a daughter should be.
Which I think that is so interesting. It's like you don't love the way that you were put into your life. Why would you want to do that to your children?
Right. Why we perpetuate the same? Yeah.
I mean, I understand culture,
and this is what we do, so we do it.
Right, trying to keep your standing within a society.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know. I've never been in that situation, so it is really hard to say.
Yeah.
But it's hard to read about and feel like, come on, like.
Don't you want better for your daughter?
Yes.
Don't you want more for her?
And can't we find a different way? Like, let's get creative and see if we can't get around these social norms and try to come up with a better solution. I mean, eventually things kind of change, right? But
right. And
it takes so long.
And then her dad, even though he gives in to her, he eventually sold her off to marriage to better his standing.
His own standing.
I can't even imagine the damage in Anna of feeling that my dad just sold me for a better standing.
And not just better standing. So that he could have some property.
Yeah.
He wanted property.
Yeah.
So, okay, goodbye, daughter that I supposedly love. But this isn't
right.
a showing of love.
And I know they arranged marriages. And then it even said in there that she had to agree to it. And he was like, well, there's ways around that.
Yeah.
Just the...
And as a man, why do you want to marry someone who doesn't want to marry you? Like,
right.
That is gross.
It's well, there's so much gross about it. The age difference.
She was 15.
Which I know back then, getting married at 15 and 14 when you become a woman, that was more of the thing. But in my head, I always thought to somebody
older?
Else closer to your age.
Right.
But to be given to this older...
He had like children her age.
Yeah. And had already had a wife. And she's a child still. She really is still a child. And
I kept trying. And throughout all of that, I was like, how can she marry someone else? She's going to marry Jesus.
Right. What do you mean? How's she going to get out of this one?
This is crazy. And I could not figure it out. It was like every single thing I thought, this is crazy. I don't know how.
How are we going to get to Jesus? Let's just get to Jesus already.
But it is really interesting. Like, and then to have him die the way, you know, he was sick and he died and thank heavens. And then that the daughters like hated her, you know, and they go to the funeral. And they're like mad that she isn't grieving. And I'm like,
she wasn't even married.
No.
They were betrothed at the time. And yet she's tainted now.
Yeah.
Because she's considered a widow. She wasn't even married yet.
No. Well, and the rumor was spread that they, you know, were intimate, because that's not uncommon,
right? But
to be intimate when you're betrothed. Yeah. So even though that wasn't true,
she was. Yeah.
They still said that about her, and that was the end of it. If right. someone says something about you,
then that's it doesn't matter. The truth, and it doesn't matter what you say. You're a woman. Why would we listen to you? A.
Yeah.
Your voice means nothing.
But it was probably a woman who started that rumor, yeah. which is devastating.
But put in those positions. She was quite manipulative herself. Like yes. The cantation bowl?
Yes.
And believing in what she put in it and praying for, you know, something to happen to him.
Get me out of this mess.
I need, right? Yeah. And then she did manipulate as she went along and to get herself into different situations out of those bad situations.
Which I kind of, you know, nothing that she did was overtly mean. Or, like, out to hurt another person. She never wanted anyone else to be hurt, necessarily. Just that she didn't want to be in those situations. And I feel like that's very normal and a very real want that all of us have.
Right. And we're all going to try to get out of things that are uncomfortable we don't want to be in. But it also
kinda made me... how she worded it. Like, just to change my circumstances. Or, like, I can't even remember. But it was more just, like, it wasn't specific. Like... don't make me marry him, or, you know, don't help me become a writer. It was more like, look, I don't know what my future holds, but it can't be this.
Yeah.
Right? So please help me find another door kind of a thing.
Yes.
Like there's got to be
a different route
for me.
And the route for her, and this is the power of reading to me, is the fact that she was taught to read and write opened so many of those doors for her.
Oh, yeah.
That she could think and read and write and then use that skill of hers to manipulate those doors to open as she saw fit and needed.
Mm-hmm.
That is literacy.
Yes.
That's what gave her a voice. So the women of the time were not taught to read or write. They literally had no voice.
Yeah.
They had nothing to better themselves with. They were completely dependent on the men. And it's hard to pull yourself out of a situation when you don't have any skills. You don't have any, you know, sight of, oh, there might be another door here. But I think all of those thoughts of, oh, it could be better, come from a reading and a writing and a knowledge of something more Absolutely. Than what it is. And she had that. More of a knowledge than the women that she was surrounded by.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I think that was
And then she used that to lift other people around her, right? Like, she never pushed it on anyone, but she did do what she could, right? To like, because when one person is bettered, it can't help but affect the people around them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, specifically her aunt.
Yes.
Who, you know, they vowed to be each other's, helpmate?
Yeah.
Throughout their lives. I can't remember the aunt's name. But I thought that was such a unique relationship, you know? So not only did her father give her tutoring and paper and ink and everything so that she could write, she also had this aunt who cared so deeply.
Yaltha.
Who cared so deeply about her and could see in her this spark of learning, right? And wanting to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And so she fed that and gave her the bull.
Yes.
And told her the stories. And really, I felt like stirred in her this longing for women's stories and suffering.
Yes.
And
helped her question. And I think that is a key too with it is let's question.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to, is this the way it has to be? Like, let's just question the way things are and why they're that way. And should they stay that way? And I think she did feed that to her. And how much that feared her parents.
Yes.
That Yaltha even talk with her daughter.
It was almost like, great, you take care of her. But then at the same time, they were like, please stay away from
Don't
her.
Don't put any thoughts in her mind that aren't already there.
Such a conflicting emotion you could see, especially in her mother. It was almost like, you like her better than me. Uh-huh. Which really bothered her. So they mm-hmm. would be separated for a time. Mm-hmm. And then almost it was like, fine, just go be together. You know, it was like...
Yeah. But it was someone who accepted her for who she was. Mm-hmm. Where she didn't feel that acceptance from her mother or father. She didn't feel that acceptance from many people. Because that's not what the role
expected of women.
She was going outside of the expectation. But she had someone who accepted her. And then...
And her friend.
Yeah.
What was her friend's name?
Tabitha.
Tabitha, who was what they wanted her to be. So they mm-hmm. were encouraging her to spend time with her, with Tabitha, and to be more like Tabitha. Because yes. she was doing exactly what all young daughters should do.
Yes. And then look what happens to Tabitha.
Poor Tabitha.
Yes.
Her story
She
is
was following, and they wanted her to be like her. And yet... She was pulled through the mud and lied about and had a reputation at that point.
Because of what a man did to her,
not because of an action she had a choice in.
In those situations, she couldn't have stopped it.
No.
It's not like she had something no say. She can do. Yeah. And I feel like, oh, that's the injustice of all of these things.
Yes.
You know? And there's just yes. nothing you can do. So what? She says nothing so that she's not tarnished.
Right.
And then, but lives with this for her whole life. Yeah. Like it would just eat you.
And then when it gets out and her punishment,
they cut her tongue out.
And I thought, you know, at first it was just I listened to the book. So to hear the way she yes. spoke at first and how hard it was to understand what she was saying to the end of the book when they reacquaint and she's understandable.
She speaks so clearly.
So much. I mean, you can obviously tell there's something there, but it's so much more clear than when it first happened. And I think that is also such a beautiful, like...
growth from the ashes.
Yeah. You had no voice. And here you've had a voice. Because within you, you trained it.
Yeah.
And the tongue is trainable. I thought that was a very beautiful part of the... that goes to the whole book.
Yep.
Our tongues are trainable and we have control over what our tongues say.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
That we do have a voice and we can use it if we choose to.
Absolutely.
And so I thought her character in the book was, even though it was a smaller character, a huge impact of gaining that voice
absolutely.
And finding your place. Even when everything was...
And everything feels impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Can you imagine?
No.
From the state she went through and she was and beat, think, she was...
Yeah. And they point out too, like, she never got to choose where she was. They just sent her all over.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you to live with your aunt.
She
I'm
was
gonna
no
sell
longer
you
acceptable
to be
anywhere. Yeah.
The slave of this person. I'm going to... You know, so she just gets tossed around. And then finally she got to choose.
Yes.
And she wanted to go and follow Jesus. And I thought that was really...
Yeah.
That was really a cool story. That it didn't even matter what she chose. Just that she got to choose. And she had this option.
Yeah. And that there at the end, that they all found their family.
Yeah.
That it wasn't the families they were born into, but the families they choose. And it was home.
Mm-hmm.
It was the place for them to be, their choice to be there. And I like with Tabitha that it wasn't her choice based off of wanting to know a God or based off of wanting to have a religious thought, but wanting to choose herself. And she's like, I'll take the oath. And they're like, well, maybe let's wait a week.
Yeah.
You know, let's figure out, you know, you need to figure out what
let's
the oath is you're
time.
Taking. And
yeah.
she's like, okay, then I'll take it next week. Like she didn't care because it was a home.
Yeah.
She felt accepted. And whatever that was in them that accepted her and made her feel that way, she then wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
And so...
And there was no pressure, right?
Yeah.
Like, just in that one comment
to.
Alone.
Yeah.
Like, take some time.
Yeah.
Take your time. There's no rush to this.
You don't have to take it today.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, like,
you
I
guys
get to
are
do
giving
whatever
me a choice.
I want to do.
I don't
yeah.
have to do what you say when I get here. I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And
she gets to use her talents.
Yes.
Right? Like she gets to go to this place where they're accepting her for whoever she is.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want to know what she's good at. They want to know where she's excelling and they want her to do that.
Yes.
And so she can feel useful. and special in her own unique way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought that was awesome. I did think that was great.
They are all, and I think there is kind of a pull, even though, you know, I have a hard time seeing, you know, if Jesus hadn't been crucified, seeing her life with Jesus after. I mean, I know she loved him and wanted to be with him, but when you look at the circumstances, when you look at Anna not having life with him and her coming back to the, what were they called? That group of
the zealots.
Where they're protected and they get to where she works in the library and she, they're home at the end.
Yes.
You know?
I can't remember the name of that place. Yes.
But they come back and her job is in the library and she feels at home. That's home for her.
Well, because that's what she, you know, it's all of her writings.
That's all. Yeah.
And there's, you know, how many things did she write? She wrote like all of these scrolls.
Yes.
That by the end, you know, at the end of the book, she talks about taking them up and burying them.
Uh-huh.
Hoping that they'll one day be found. And I find that, like, amazing. Like, she doesn't ever even write her own story. She only writes the stories of those of other she women. Feels need to be heard.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. You know, even there at the end, as the other thing, like, what is it? Like, 22 months and something after the death of Jesus. So not quite a year. And she has that dream of him because she's still been wearing his cloak.
Yeah.
And he's there and he's wearing the cloak. And she realizes, you know, he's always with me. Like, even though he's gone, he's with me.
Yeah.
And is able to let him go. And I just thought that was, you know, in grief. And when you lose someone that you love, to have that moment when you're able to say, okay, like, I know that this is my new life now, but I'll still remember and love this person, and being able to kind of take that step away from
that life into now this is my new home here, but I know he's with me here.
Yeah.
And that's probably closer than she'd actually been with him for those, you know, years before it happened, those last 2 years especially, and throughout their marriage, they were often definitely separated. So that closeness probably felt better than the unknowing of what he was doing and where he was and the fear of being separated from him all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What did you think of finding Diodora and her part in the book?
You know, that's interesting. I felt happy for her aunt, right? Her aunt had this long-lost daughter that she was forced to be separated from when her daughter was two.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's always longed to see her again and to find out what actually happened, which, what an awful uncle they have.
Yeah.
Who, like, okay, you can be here, but you can't leave my house for a year. Like, I kind of was like,
and I'm still going to charge you.
What?
Rent to stay here.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to leave. He was so worried about his, how he was viewed from the village or anyone else, that he didn't want them to know he was associated with them.
I guess.
He didn't want other people to know.
It was of weird. Them.
So, yeah, come here. Stay in our house. Hey, I love that Anna's like, oh no, he said we could come to the servant. And then they get there and she's like, yeah, I did lie. But, and then she has like crap on him. And so she's like, did you want me to tell that you did this and this? And then, so she's totally a manipulator.
Oh,
she's
really
a queen
is.
Of it. Which is funny to pair that with Jesus, because you think of Jesus as kind, wouldn't tell a lie. And she even thinks, like, when she steals the jewelry from her mom.
I don't want him to know where this money came from.
Yeah, because I'm a thief. Yeah. I stole this. I've lied to get through all these things.
Yep.
And I don't want him to know. And she tells him things here and there, and she doesn't want to keep secrets from him. But she even sees that he wouldn't do this.
Yes.
But he's a man. And so
he has different,
he had different struggles than
absolutely.
Hers.
Absolutely.
But she definitely took advantage of those situations that came in front of her for survival.
Yeah.
and did it. But yet she knew it was wrong, and she knew she was a thief and a liar, and she kept it going and got themselves some lodging.
Well, yeah, and it really did. It is what kept her safe.
Yeah. But then I also questioned myself on, well, why do I think it's okay for her to do it?
Yeah.
Because I'm totally 100% behind her.
Well, because the other side of it, too, it's like, she wouldn't have been given any inheritance. It all goes to this angry, ornery uncle who's just selling it all.
Even when a husband dies, it doesn't go to the wife. The wife doesn't get the house.
But it was her mother's jewelry.
Yeah.
Like, the mother was not the brother. So these days,
we would look at it as, that is hers.
Yes.
And that house.
Like, that's where you feel like, yeah, you take that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because it really, you feel like in a family situation, you deserve something. Like, you should be able to take something away.
Right.
As
even as a memory.
Yes. Right? Like, just because the mother didn't hand it to her in her living years, you know, it's, I don't know.
And to see her childhood home, like, in such shambles when she goes back.
Yeah, so sad.
Where she could have kept the house and kept it and taken care of it. But we wouldn't give property to a woman, so we're just going to leave it here and let it go to pot.
Yeah, so stupid.
There are so many of these things that...
And really, the brother didn't need it. The brother had plenty of money. He was like the richest Jew in Egypt, they said. So it's like, why? Why do we do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I
know, and that's why I feel like, yeah, if you have to take something for yourself, take something.
And the belittling of a woman's role.
Yeah.
Or even a woman, period. Not that a woman has to have a certain role, but here you choose to marry this person that you love and have children with, knowing that if you die, they're left to fend for themselves.
Seriously.
You really never thought, like, oh, it would make me feel so horrible if I died and my wife and children had nothing. But no.
I hope my brother is kind. There was nothing put
in place.
Whoever else the next male heir is.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Crazy.
It is. Anyway, I'm glad that we don't still do things that way. Although, you know, I will say.
Yeah, there's residue. There's definitely residue on this.
Feelings that stick around and have
this many years later.
And that is the crazy part.
That's the crazy part. That
it's not. You look at
how forward thinking Anna was, and you would think that this would move at a quicker pace over the years, but almost, it got way worse.
Yeah.
It did. And then even more worse. And then maybe a little bit better, and then worse. You know, it's
seriously.
Like, it's been such a slow change of thought. And yet some of those things we're still holding on to.
It's about power.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when you start getting into this stuff, and it's not that they don't think you're capable, but if you give someone else a little bit more power, then that means I must have less. And that's scary.
Right.
And so I'm just not going to rock the boat and just hold on to whatever it is I've got. And I'm so sorry if that's hurtful for you, but you're good. I'll take care of you so you don't need to worry.
Right.
I'll take care of you because I'm a good person. So I'll just hold on to that power while I've got it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so backwards.
No. Yeah, I agree.
And it's fear. It's all fear. I don't do well with fear-based decisions.
Right. Well, and it's hard because... I've made some fear-based decisions myself. Yes, I mean, it's hard to be logical, but in this case, like, why are we?
And it's easy to say, right? As the women who are like begging for an up, right?
Right.
And everybody else is like, oh, I know, you're totally right. You totally deserve it, but I'm afraid to rock the boat because of what's going to happen to my standing.
We're going
to
fall back on what's known instead of questioning. Well, could it be different?
Fear. Yeah, it's in fear because of what might happen to
the
ones who are standing there.
Yeah.
And really, that's too bad because it may help you.
Right.
By raising this other person, right? Let's go back to the moment of lift. Like, by raising other person around you or these people around you, what more than likely will happen is you're going to raise yourself.
Yeah.
So
it's only better for your whole community if we lift the lowest... Most hurting.
Or anyone below you.
Anyone below
you, if you give them a hand up, you're raising yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not putting them above you.
No.
You were both going to lift.
And you can look at it as yourself, just working on yourself. But how good is a better you when you don't feel safe to go outside because you left everybody else behind and they're struggling and scrimping, yeah, and you no longer good feel point. Comfortable around your own neighbors. But if we all lifted up together and learned from one another, I love that book.
I know, it's good. Yeah. I just love that sentiment. Like, it's something that I think will stay with me. But just the idea that, you know, we all are striving to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's bad to say, is that we all want to be our best selves and mm-hmm. achieve the greatest things we can achieve.
Right.
Right? And sometimes that requires a little bit of help.
Right.
But if nobody's willing to help me, you know, I'm not willing to help them. Well, no one's going to help me. So if we could all take the time to, like, lift each other.
And if not, we're working against, yeah, definitely making it harder for everyone.
Yeah, we're pushing each other down. Yeah. Anyway, that is kind of a tangent. But I do feel like it comes back to that in this book. When you watch these women, which is so hard to watch these women.
It's so hard.
They all work the different so struggles. Hard and they yeah. don't get anywhere. And yeah. what they say does not matter.
No.
And it's tough. I mean, but it was all yeah. the point of view of women. And there were some good men. I won't say that there were all bad men.
Right.
Definitely right. had a butt of a father and a butt of an uncle.
Yeah.
You know, they just definitely. Were not good men. They were self-centered and definitely worried about...
looking out for themselves.
Where, yeah, yeah. where they sat.
They definitely were. And how and they can get ahead.
And didn't even serve her dad in the end.
No.
Like, it didn't matter what he tried. It just was what it was.
Yeah.
So I feel like... how do you feel about it now? Like, you look back on everything that you mm-hmm. did to others, and where did that get you?
And it didn't get you any further ahead. I mean, I think even Yalthus says something like, life is life and death is death. Like, when yeah. Anna has the baby, you know, it's with life comes death, and it's a known for all. And so her dad here dies
yeah.
fairly early and worked and sabotaged and still ended up dead just like everybody else.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah. So you didn't get yourself any further ahead. You left all your stuff in your home to go
to
nothing.
Yeah, really to nothing.
Yeah, it got you no further ahead on this earth than anybody else who died on this earth.
Now I think about it, that those bracelets and stuff that Anna sold really went to her uncle anyway.
Yeah.
So she really didn't steal.
That's true. It's true. He would have gotten the money from him yeah. regardless, and he charged them rent.
So it just
so
kind
she,
of...
But she did have more to pay for.
That's true.
Who was the her servant that came back and,
yes. and she and calls him brother at the end? Guy. Yeah. yeah.
He was there for her and...
and he did it because he cared.
He cared.
He was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And even his wife, it drove her nuts, right?
But she...
because she thought sometimes he was more loyal to Anna than
and
to his wife.
And she wanted to be with her husband.
Which was understandable. And,
right. Anyone would. But then to, you know, when he says, or somebody else says, I think it was, I don't remember.
Yeah, but he's so good, right? Yeah. Like, he goes and he is her escort wherever she needed to go. And
yeah,
he
she
made,
can't go
she
alone.
She made it possible for him.
Yeah.
Because she had the money.
She had the money.
But it definitely...
but, yeah. but he got some of that money back.
And then, I think that was another one of my favorite things. You know, the sister-in-law that was supposed to marry Jesus, but then didn't because mm-hmm. Jesus said, I don't think I'm going to
I'm
get married.
I'm ever
going to
get married.
So that was really hard on Anna.
Was that Judith?
Yes.
Was that her name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So she was so mean to Anna all those years. And then at the end, when Tabitha didn't have any money to go with Anna, Judith steps up and is like...
was that Judith?
I think it was. Wasn't it?
I thought it was...
how she's like...
Mary or Martha. But was it Judith?
I think it was Judith.
Okay, because she was kind of a bitter person and she was like...
but she's like, I'm going to do this for you. And it was kind of like, there's her good, right? Like, she understood Tabitha and her need to... but maybe it wasn't Judith. Now I'm questioning it.
And I only questioned it because I was really wondering, what happened to Judith? Why wasn't she there in the end? But maybe she wasn't. I felt like I had missed something in Judith's story. Like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
But maybe she was there at the end.
That part did happen fast. Now I'm going to go back and read.
I have to look at it again.
Tell us, was it Judith?
Can't you because at the, after Jesus listeners? After Jesus dies and she tells the story of the goat that she had loved, that Judith
and
then
Judith
takes,
wasn't there. When
I don't
they
think
told
Judith was there, and I. But maybe I'm wrong because I remember
Judith
thinking
was there because she's like I wasn't going to tell the end of that story because it made Judith look bad. But Mary's like, tell the rest.
So Judith was there.
I think she was there.
Okay, for some reason I was thinking she wasn't, and I was then
I
wondering.
Don't know. Now I'm all confused.
What happened to her? Anyway,
I could have
correct
just
us.
Written a new ending. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Judith was there. We
Judith
forgive
loves
her.
Everyone.
She kind of started to see the light. She had one kind act in her.
Oh,
I don't know there. I don't
maybe
know
that's
that.
That's what I
but
was hoping to read.
Yeah. Maybe we all see a little bit of what we want in the story and kind of mold it around.
Right.
I don't know.
That's probably true.
I don't know.
A little bit.
No.
Anyway, there's so many things in this book,
oh,
I think, that
gosh.
We can talk about. What was your favorite part, listeners? Was there a big takeaway for you that we didn't mention today? I feel yeah. like we could go on and on. There's
what,
her
it?
Trying to leave that place in a casket. We didn't even touch on that.
Yes.
You know, and all the
getting her out. And how sad that was when the journey to get back to Jesus, to finally after 2 years be with your husband.
And not get to be with him.
And you get there just as they're gonna crucify him.
Yeah, that was so
like,
sad.
Devastating. And
it was, I did also like, I know we don't really talk about this and we've gone on for a long time, but Antipas, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
The king guy or the
yeah.
leader who wanted to be the king of the Jews and whatever.
Yeah.
And to have like a little, because Anna has that relationship with him from the beginning, or those interactions with him, I should say, at the beginning of the story. And so to kind of have like this vision of him and how he set his wife aside. And anyway, that was like a whole other thing I thought made it very interesting. I loved the little connections of real people we've heard about in the stories.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And the thought, I love the thought that somewhere in Egypt on the side of a mountain are all her writings.
I know. Well, they still
it
find
just
stuff
haven't
like
been.
That.
Yeah. Because the hymn she wrote, the opus that she wrote, was a real opus
a real
that was
poem.
Found.
Yes.
In the hillside.
Written by a woman.
Written by a woman, yeah. And so Sumunk Kid took that and used it as if Anna had written it. And I just, yeah, I want those to be found.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be so amazing to find?
We need more points
writing
of
women, more writings of women to come up and fill the unknowns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
I agree. It would be so interesting to feel those pieces get put into place.
Definitely.
Because you know there's missing pieces.
Yeah,
and
it's hard to know everything. You know,
yeah.
there's been a
and
lot of years
of course
years
we
on
don't.
This earth.
It is, yeah.
yeah.
And again,
and a lot of people.
Everyone has a different point of view. So if everyone's writing their story and their genealogy, it's from the one perspective of all the people in the Bible.
Right.
And even within my own family, I have a different perspective on my childhood than my sister does.
Yeah, exactly.
We are two different people who viewed it from two different eyes, and how different that story is for each of us.
Absolutely.
And so there's
so
more to
I
the
think.
Story.
Yeah, it's so important to share your own experience for sure.
Yeah, so that we have a full account.
I love
it's
it.
It's fun to keep that, to have that thought that
it does matter.
There's more, and it matters. Your life matters. Your voice matters.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
Yeah.
For everyone to hear.
Absolutely. There's less. We can all learn from your
yeah.
your life lessons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So I did really like the book. I think there was a lot to learn from it. It was a great story.
There was a lot to it.
There was a lot to it.
It did go a little slower than I anticipated.
It was. And
she's stuck a lot. You know, she's
yeah.
she just is stuck at home, and then she's stuck at Jesus.
And it spans so many, like when she
so
would say
years.
The 11 years I was with Jesus, and I was like, whoa, what? That
yeah,
was 11
that
years?
Went fast. Right.
Because there was just little snippets here and there throughout
the taking care of the farm.
Yeah. I mean. Oh, and how funny when she wakes up after they get married and she slept in and he's like, "You always sleep this late." And then his mom was like, "Well, I made his lunch."
Yeah.
"You need to go take care of the goats." And she's like, "I don't know how to take care of goats."
Yeah. I did think that was interesting too. Like, she came from such a higher
class. But such a human story of Jesus and his wife. I love that. I do love to see that the human side, not the theological side of Jesus. I do think that was a fun side to see how he interacted with his family and her. And
he did seem true to himself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, throughout the whole story, like, the things that he said, it would definitely be what I would imagine.
Yeah. Did you ever think of Jesus with brothers?
No.
Like, his own siblings?
Family.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it's just fun to think of what, we're going to throw out the possibility of a wife. I didn't even think to go beyond that he had siblings too, and they were getting married, and he had nieces and nephews, and just that family unit that he had in this
story. And he was the oldest.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that really plays a big role in the families at that time, like, to be the oldest son.
Yeah. And so many possibilities.
Right?
So I can't be too disappointed in Sumunk Kid that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, because there are so many possibilities when you're writing the fictional life
of
the human side of Jesus and what it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were things in there I wouldn't have thought either.
Yeah.
So
I just, in my imagination, went somewhere totally different.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Because that's your book. That's your story you could write.
Okay. We are going to call it a day.
We good need book. To stop. Another good one.
Tell us what you think, please.
We'd love to hear your point of view on it.
Send us your comments. Send us a message. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and email.
Yep. This is your bookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't forget to enter our giveaway. We'll have the post up.
If you want the Sundown Motel to read next month with us, start liking, commenting, and tagging your friends.
Get your own copy. Send it right to your door.
That's right.
It's what we do best.
We got that out pretty quick last time so that you could read and be ready for this episode. So
absolutely.
That's our goal. So when are we going to end that?
Oh, good question. We'll give you till the following Monday. Does that sound good?
So
that's a long time. And you want to be able to read it.
No, I think that's what we did last time.
That's good, because we have 5 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
So you have until our next podcast.
The next episode, which
is it's a fifth Monday.
Monday. So we are going to do something a little different too on that one.
I know. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So
it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
We're going to deviate from our regularly scheduled material.
Ooh. Yes.
That sounds big.
That sounded good.
It's
like we're so professional.
It's big.
It is.
Well, it's going to be a fifth Monday.
So different. It's going to be different.
It's going to be different. It'll be good.
So
we will see you next week.
So you
week.
Have a week, and get your name in there so
tag
we can
in.
Draw.
Tag away.
Yeah. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Can't wait.
So.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is
your book club.